It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time at Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw.
Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Colzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown.
And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Or you can check us out on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat and join the conversation there. 201-939-4513. Talk some New York Giants football. And, of course, all the attention still on the Giants 2014 draft, trying to fill out their roster and take a peek and see exactly where they're heading with OTA starting in just a couple weeks. Minicamp now only about a month away. They're still in phase two here. Guys practicing on separate fields, but they're out there. Eli Manning spoke yesterday, said that he's out there throwing passes. He wants to take all the snaps at minicamp. That's probably one of the reasons why Rusty Smith was let go yesterday. So Eli Manning's getting healthy. The rookies are here. They're working out. And all these are good things. Yesterday I had a chance to spend some time with some of the Giants' new players, all pretty darn good kids. That seems to be a theme of the guys that Jerry Reese decided to draft this year. All very likable, all very talkable, all very affable. All football intelligent. They all seem to be football players before they're athletes, which I think is a good thing. I think at times this team has fallen into the trap of drafting athletes and not football players. These guys all seem like football players, you know, straight up, which is good. I'm not going to waste a ton of time, especially on the guys on the first 2 days, because we've heard a lot about them already. But I'll kind of go through who the Giants drafted. I'll go through their undrafted free agents that they announced yesterday. Now, some names are going to be missing off that list, and we'll talk about that, too, in terms of who the Giants announced. So let's get going with round number one, all right? Odell Beckham Jr., and a lot of people wanted an offensive lineman in that spot, and quite frankly, I think a Zach Martin pick would have been fine. I think an Aaron Donald pick would have been fine. I think any one of those three guys was good value for where the Giants selected at 12. Both Eric Ebron and Taylor Lewan were off the board, so keep that in mind. But, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is a big play guy. He has a speed to beat you over the top. He ran a sub-4.4 over the course of his workouts. And while he's not the biggest guy in the world at 5'11", he's physical. He'll go up, he'll get after the football. He'll make you miss once he has the ball in his hands. And he will be very difficult to cover one-on-one. Now, there are a couple hits on him. He does have trouble getting off the line of scrimmage against bump and run. So that's something he needs to get better at, using his hands to separate from the cornerback at the start of his route. That's one thing I've heard about that's an issue that he's going to have to improve at. A lot of that's to do with the fact that he's not the biggest guy with the longest arm, so these bigger and longer quarterbacks can get their mitts on him and redirect him early in his route. So that's number one. But otherwise, a very good player, somebody that could be a number one. You know, he caught over 15 yards per catch in college. Very productive, 59 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns in his final year at LSU. He does have some concentration drops, which is an issue too. But everything else, he's fantastic. And again, if he wasn't 5'11 and Evans wasn't 6'4, Beckham would have been a much better wide receiver ranked in this draft than Mike Evans. Go to round two. They selected Weston Richburg, which is my favorite pick in this draft. He's going to come in and start right away. I think he will. At least he'll compete with J.D. Walton, who's coming off the year and a half of not playing football with the ankle injury. And look, he's a smart guy. He can move well. He's somebody that I think can be a leader on that offensive line, call out the protections. He started all 50 games at Colorado State. I believe that was a Colorado State record, if I'm not mistaken. He started, 45 games at center, 2 at tackle, 3 at guard. At one point, he broke his right hand, which was a snapping hand, had to snap lefty, did fine. So he's that tough, you know, blue-collar offensive lineman that you like. Now, a pick that I know some people had some issues with, but I get it. Taking a look at it now is Jay Bromley out of Syracuse. Now, I know the reason a lot of people have issues with this pick was because he was projected by many to be a fifth or sixth round pick, and then you see the Giants pick him in the third round, everybody goes, ah, what are you doing? I get it. But here's my argument for why it makes some sense. What's one thing the Giants need to improve this offseason? Their pass rush. There weren't a lot of traditional pass rushers in this draft in terms of guys that'll play right end. It's one of the reasons the Cowboys trade up to get DeMarcus Lawrence. There, frankly, were not a lot of right end pass rushers in this draft. They just weren't there. So they draft Jay Bromley. He had 10 sacks last year, 14 and a half tackles for loss, playing that three technique tackle, 306 pounds, 6 feet tall. Now, the Giants are going to try to get him small, a little bigger so he can play inside on that one technique as well. But he's a guy that can penetrate the backfield and cause some mayhem back there. And if you look at his production, the tackles for losses and the sacks is not that much different than Aaron Donald. Now, I'm not telling you that he's Aaron Donald. That'd be stupid. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you he's a guy that can contribute in rotation, and he will compete for playing time. Now, he's going to have to beat out Marcus Coon for playing time. He's going to have to beat out Colin Jenkins for playing time. He's going to have to beat out Jonathan Hankins for playing time, Mike Patterson for playing time. And that's a good thing. You got a lot of veterans here that he can learn from and try to get better at. So, now, day three picks. Andre Williams, I know a lot of people are very excited about, have heard a lot about. He ran for 2,000 yards in his senior year at Boston College, 355 carries. Big workload, I worry a little bit about that. He almost had 2,200 yards rushing. But the good thing is that as a freshman, sophomore, and junior, he had less than 130 carries every year, 130 being the max in 2012. So the workload not quite as bad as that senior year might indicate. Now he can run through tackles. He can get to the hole pretty quick. He's a workhorse. He delivers hits. He's kind of a little smaller Brandon Jacobs type of power back. I think he'll help the Giants in short yardage and things of that nature. Now, there are some issues here. He's not the shiftiest guy. He's not the quickest side-to-side to make people miss in the open field. Now, once he gets into the open field, what you like about this guy, despite his size, and he's a big boy at 5'11", 230. I mean, you see this guy walking down the hall, you would think he's like a 4 or 5 year NFL veteran, Andre Williams, but he's a rookie. He looks like a 4 or 5 year pro already. This guy is NFL ready in terms of his body. He is a big, big dude. Now, he's not Brandon Jacobs big. He's only 5'11", but he is a big, big dude. But, again, not the quickest guy side to side. And bigger than that, he had some issues catching the ball at Boston College. And quite frankly, you look at his combine workout trying to catch the ball, it's not pretty. If you can find it online, search for it, not the prettiest thing. Now, he wasn't asked a lot to do pass protection, but he's a smart guy. He's a big guy. He likes to hit. So, honestly, I would not be concerned about Andre Williams in terms of pass protection. I think he'll be fine, but certainly a good runner, and I think a good complement to Rashad Jennings. But if I'm Peyton Hillis, I'm looking over my shoulder a little bit, to be quite honest with you, because if David Wilson gets back, you know, that could cut into a lot of Peyton Hillis' playing time right there. The Giants' next pick in the fifth round, Nat Burhe out of San Diego State. This is a guy out of San Diego State who had 5 interceptions over the course of his college career, 193 pounds, 5 foot tall. Now, he's not the biggest guy in the world. That's his big issue. He's not very tall. Only 193 pounds. And again, under 6 feet. That's an issue. He's fast. He likes to get downhill. He's going to be a core special team guy, which you like. He works hard. You know, I worry about his ability to hit and play the box at that size. You know, he's not the fastest guy in the world, so getting down, you know, going side to side, he ran just a 4.66 at the combine for a safety, which is eh. But again, he's a guy that has a lot of experience. He started 39 games in college at San Diego State. Team captain. He'll be a very good special teams player and help out in the secondary. So I think a solid pick in the fifth round. Remember, guys, in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're looking at guys that are coming right away to help on specials and then someday could develop into a starter. So you're not getting guys that are going to start right away at this point in the draft. The next guy they picked was Devon Kennard. Again, it's Devon, not Devin. I did ask him that yesterday. I talked to him about that. So Devon Kennard, over 6 feet tall, 250 pounds, big guy, hits. Now, you worry about him in space. He's not the fastest and quickest guy, so covering people could be an issue for him. But he's a guy that can, you know, help against the run, play a little bit. Now, out of high school, this guy was a five-star defensive end recruit. You know, he was going to a Texas, Cal, or USC, ended up going to USC. You know, he started as a freshman, played outside, moved to middle linebacker. He's very versatile. That's something the Giants like about this guy. He's a versatile player. He rushed the passer as their primary pass rusher off the edge, and he played middle linebacker. So he's somebody that can move around, and he'll be a core special teams guy, and he can help in a couple different spots as a backup linebacker. In the pros. And you know what? I could see him being a decent strong side linebacker backing up Jameel McClain. I could see that working. And finally, you got Bennett Jackson, the corner out of Notre Dame. He's a guy that's only played corner for a couple of years, but he's very, very, very raw, but he's fast. The Giants think he can develop into a starting corner in this league at some point. He has the skill set to do that. They hope he can, but he's someone that they're going to have to teach a little bit and get his technique better. Now, very quickly, undrafted free agents. Here are the guys the Giants announced, folks. I know you've probably seen a lot more names out there than these, but for now, these are who the Giants have announced. You got Ethan Manamaliuna out of BYU, 6'2", 296. As a senior, he was named to the FBS All-Independent First Team, defensive end, so maybe he can give a little depth and pass rush disruption. Kelsey Quarles out of South Carolina, I think he was interesting. He actually had more sacks than Jadeveon Clowney last year, third in the SEC with 9.5. 6'4", 297, three technique type of guy. You know, he can penetrate, so he can maybe give you some help there along with Bromley behind Cullen Jenkins. Kerry Wynn, defensive tackle out of Richmond. Remember, the second Richmond player in as many years. Last year they drafted Cooper Taylor, who was out of Richmond as well. Third team All-CAA. Finished with 5.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 6'5", 266. Smaller guy. You know, 6'5", 266 defensive tackle. This is somebody the Giants are going to have to work with to get bigger. You know, he played in a small program. But he did do 31 bench press reps, which was a very impressive number, as was his 10-yard split time in the 40-yard dash. So he has some raw skills. You're going to have to get him a little bit bigger. But he's someone the Giants think could help on the defensive line. And you know what? I could see him moving out to tackle at 6'5", 265. I'm not sure he's going to stay. Move him out at end. I'm not sure he's going to stay at tackle. Justin Anderson, linebacker out of Louisiana Lafayette. Averaged over 10 tackles a game as a senior. Good impressive numbers at his pro day from his three-cone drill and his vertical jump. 6'2", 230. Let's try to work him a linebacker. And finally, Thomas Gordon, the safety out of Michigan. Four-year letterman, 38 starts at safety. Big special teams guy, three picks as a senior, 5'11", 211. So he's a guy the Giants hope can help out in the secondary. 201-939-4513. Let's get to your phone calls. We can talk about those guys and anything else you want to discuss in regards to the NFL draft or free agency or anything else you want to discuss on this Tuesday morning on Giants.com. Let's start with Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. He called in first. He's been holding the longest. Andrew, what's going on?
Sorry, out of the blue. Because you mentioned the new guys and the free agents, I think the rule they should have with the practice squad is that the teams in the division cannot sign players from other teams' practice squad within the division.
Why is that?
Because I remember, because they'll steal like an offensive guy to learn the playbook. I remember when the guy from Washington, Joe Gibbs, came back as coach, and he signed like one of our offensive linemen, and it's, you know, it just seems like a dirty trick. But I just wanted to throw that out because a lot of guys, I think, like a quarterback might make the practice squad, but they don't want to have
Andrew,
a quarterback on there.
I hear you. Remember this, too, though? The Redskins have to lose a roster spot, so they have to jettison somebody on their team to fit that player on, too. So if it's not a player they think they can really use and help their team, you know, in a lot of ways they're hurting themselves because they have to cut a player that they think can help them just to get this guy on their team for a week. You know what I mean?
That was a good point. And hopefully you or Paul won't get mad at me for this comment, which is why I really called. Josh Freeman, what about having him pepper him in just a little bit as a wildcat or option quarterback? And Mangini, one time on ESPN said that the option, it gives the defense something to think about. So, like last year, Coughlin, too, said that when they had to go against a team that ran that offense, they weren't familiar, it was more difficult.
No, Andrew, so, I hear you. I mean, I think if you have a player that can do it, you can mix that in a little bit if you want. But, you know, I've heard people say this about Josh Freeman, and I don't understand it. To me, Josh Freeman's a pocket passer. He's not,
right.
You know, this mobile quarterback that's going to run around and, you know, do things that RG3 does. You know, I'm not saying he's, like, stationary and he's, you know, he's like Drew Bledsoe back there. I mean, he's more mobile than that, but he's not a guy that's going to run around and do the option and do that sort of stuff.
Right. Maybe they'll be willing to sacrifice his body a little. But you're right. He is a big, sturdy, you know, not so much of a runner. But I just remember the game against the, I think, Carolina Panthers, and the quarterback was a pocket most of the game, but then they ran those few option plays, and it, like, threw the Giants' defense in the third week,
right,
third game of the season. And it is, like, annoying, it seems, that the defense has to spend time. But that's all I wanted to say, and I'm real happy with all the picks. And the offensive linemen, great, you know, center-guard combo. Now there's depth at the offensive line. Snead will provide depth, so I'm real happy. And I think the wide receiver is a steal. He looks like very intelligent, like you said earlier, that Reese picked all high quality. And not a knock on Mario Manningham, but when he came out, the knock on him, I guess, was that he wasn't the smartest or the most polished, but very talented, athletic. So this guy seems like the best of both worlds, that he's very fast and physically talented, but he's mentally advanced too. He's more pro-ready, so I'm really high on that pick. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the call. And I think that's a theme with all their picks, Andrew. I think that's a good thing we can kind of pick up on here, is that the Giants really went into this trying to draft football players and guys that can come in and help right away. They didn't draft these athletic projects that they have to teach the game of football to. These are guys that have started a ton of games in college. You know, the exception is the Giants' final pick in the sixth round, Bennett Jackson, who, you know, obviously I said only played a couple games at corner, and they'll probably have to teach him a little bit. But otherwise, you know, there's some, you know, these are guys that have played a ton. They can step in. They can be special teamers right away. They're smart. They'll pick things up. And I think that's important. And I think sometimes you get lost in the numbers sometimes, the height, weight, speed. You get lost in the broad jump, the vertical jump, the three-cone drill, and all that stuff. But if you can really get in there and get football players, these are guys that can help you. 201-939-4513. John is in North Jersey next. John, thanks for calling, pal.
Hey, what's going on?
Not so much, today? John. How you doing, man?
I want to talk about the draft, and I just I want to say I think Jerry Reese did a great job with these guys, and I'm going to tell you why. Because of the fact that they're captains, and almost all of them, I think, were first-team all-leagues in their respective leagues.
Yeah, they were. A lot of these guys, I went through all the guys, and you look at them, all of them are 2-, 3-, or even 4-year starters, and a lot of them were team captains. So they all seem to share those characteristics.
So they have high IQ as football players, which
yep.
is going to help in the meeting rooms. It's going to help in the locker room. It's going to help on the practice field. And it's going to help in non-football events because, you know, they're natural-born leaders.
Now, no question about it. And, again, I think it's important to have those types of glue guys on your team, and they help in ways that's really impossible to measure. And especially younger guys that come into this with a pro type of attitude where they understand what it's going to take to make it, and they're willing to put those extra hours in to bring their playbook home with them, to look at it for a couple hours at night after they're off the clock, you know, things of that nature. You got guys willing to do that, it goes a long way to getting them ready for the life in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. Now, just look at Stevie Brown, perfect example of that right there.
Yeah, and, you know, you can go through a couple guys. Let me see if I can think of some other guys over the course of time that the Giants have brought in here that have really been, like, you know, football smart. Now, they've had a couple guys that have had issues with things, and I can go the other way. Like, a guy like Travis Beckham was never able really to figure things out at the pro level. You know, a guy like even Jaquan Williams still struggles sometimes with assignments. Adrian Robinson, another guy that at times has struggled with assignments, things of that nature. So they have drafted these athletes in the past that, you know, haven't necessarily been ready, but, you know, guys like this, you know, Kiwanuka was a very smart player that they drafted out of Boston College. He was able to bounce between linebacker and defensive end. pretty successfully, which is very good to see. So you draft these guys that have, you know, have production and played a lot in college. They go a long way towards helping your team win football games and coming in and helping you right away.
I completely agree. And also where I think they're going to be helped the most is on special teams.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you said, these guys, these, you know, third-day guys, they're going to be flying down the field on punt coverage to, you know, earn a roster spot. Now, if you look at, you know, some of the plays on, I mean, the Chiefs game and the Broncos game, when Weatherford, we got two punt returns returned for us in those games. Yeah, if you saw who was covering those punts, it was Mathias Kiwanuka, it was Keith Rivers. You know, these guys, that's not what they do. They're starting linebackers, they're starting defensive ends. They shouldn't be on punt coverage team. Now, if you get these guys that are, you know, it's their job, like similar to how Greg Jones, Tyler Sash, Daquan Williams, Devin Thomas back in...
Devin Thomas, good pull. That's an excellent example.
Back in 2011,
yeah.
Super Bowl year, you know, look at the San Francisco game. Two special teams plays, you know, saved that game for us.
No, look, absolutely. You know what? You could not be more right. I know a lot of people last year came out, fire Tom Quinn. The Giants special teams are terrible. Well, here's the bottom line, guys. Tom Quinn didn't have a whole lot to work with. He had a lot of guys that either weren't very good at special teams or was being forced to play him that didn't want to play him. Or like you said, they had to put starters in there that, you know, are already playing 40, 50 snaps on defense. And, you know, they're probably a little bit tired. So now Tom Quinn's going to have these guys with a lot of football experience who are willing and they want to play special teams. And they actually did play special teams in college. So I think this draft, and those day three picks specifically, like you said, even Andre Williams can play those special teams, folks, that these guys can come in here, help right away on special teams, and make the Giants' coverage units that much better.
I also think Odell Beckham is going to be an absolute, you know, stud on special teams in the punt and kick return game.
John, it's hilarious. This team hasn't been able to find a kicker or a punt returner in years. Now they seem to have four of them. It's amazing. You got Trindon Holiday, who they brought in, who can do both, obviously. He better get his fumbling issues under control now, by the way. Because with Beckham here, Trindon Holiday is on a very short leash, in my opinion.
I mean, he's one fumble away from losing his job.
Oh, no question. And then you got Quinton Demps, who they brought in as a safety insurance because of the Will Hill thing. You have him here. You have David Wilson coming back from the neck injury. Now you got Odell Beckham Jr. And not to mention Reuben Randall, who was your full-time punt returner last year as a safety valve backup type of deal. So they got kicking punt returners coming out of their you-know-what right now.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, it'll translate to some 6 points on special teams, you know?
Dude, they've been waiting a long time for a kick or a punt return for a touchdown. It feels like it's been forever. I mean, David Wilson against the Saints, I guess, was the last one, right? Two years ago?
Yeah, I think Dominic Hickson before that, I think, was the last one, too.
Against the Patriots, right, in 2007?
Yeah, I hear you. In the Super Bowl year.
Exactly. All right, John, thanks for the call, stuff. Great stuff,
man.
Yeah,
definitely, man. Definitely. I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. You know what? He did not, you know, could not have fit that better. Special teams, special teams, special teams. And Jackson, Kennard, Burhey, Bromley, Williams, they're all going to help on special teams, folks. All of them. Especially Jackson, Kennard, and Burhey. These guys are going to be special team demons. You throw in Herzlick, who's still on the team, who's a good special teams player, and I think he's going to be in great shape. Because I know you guys kill Tom Quinn, and you don't think he does a good job, but I looked at the kick and punt returns last year, guys. I looked at them. You had guys doing things they were not supposed to do. In the wrong place, not executing, missing tackles. It was a disaster. And he mentioned a couple names of experienced guys, and I thought of them. I didn't want to bring them up because, you know, they got cut, and I don't want to freak people out trying to tell you that these guys are going to get cut in 2 years. But Tyler Sash, you know, even though he didn't make it as a safety, he was an excellent special teams player. Greg Jones was a good special teams player, even though he didn't make it elsewhere. I mean, I think those are good examples. 201-939-4503. I should mention something else about a couple of these undrafted free agents. I know a couple of their names kind of got thrown out there by the media. Xavier Grimble, the tight end at USC, being one of them. Now, the reason the Giants might not have announced some of these guys, and I don't know, you know, what the reason is or not, but I do know what happens is that a lot of these undrafted guys come in, and the guys who have battled injuries over the course of the year have taken MRI. And if they fail their MRI, these guys aren't signed. They're sent on their merry way. So that's something to keep an eye on here to see if the Giants announce any more undrafted free agent signings, because you guys have to clear physically before the Giants can add him to the roster. So that's something to keep an eye on. I mentioned the five guys the Giants have announced. We'll see if they announce any more moving forward. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe in Florida. He's been holding the longest. Joe, what's going on?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Just talking about the draft, and I was happy with the first part of the draft. And then, of course, I've been concerned about offensive line.
Right.
And I haven't heard a peep about that. It's been all defense. We went in the fifth round. We took defense. Sixth round, we took defense. So we had four defense versus three offense. Then they brought in, after the draft, they brought in nine guys. You talked about some of them earlier.
Remember, they've only announced five. The other four are now just reported.
Yes,
if some of those other four, fail their physical, they might not eventually be signed. Just FYI.
I understand that, John, but my point is that it's all defense. What happened to offensive players? I mean, we were worried about tackle and guard. We haven't even talked about them.
Well, you know what? Quite frankly, Joe, here's how it works when you get to rounds 5, 6, and 7. It's very difficult to find, NFL-caliber players late in the third day of the draft. It just is. It's hard to find these guys that you think can come in and compete right away. So you're really in a situation where, even if you want to draft an offensive player and you're dead set on it, if you have an opportunity to draft a defensive player that you really think is going to make it and is going to be good, it's not a good idea to pass a guy like that up to pick an offensive player that, you think maybe has a 50-50 shot at making it. And again, I don't know if that's the situation the Giants were in, but when you get to those late rounds, you got to pick the best player available, even if it's regardless of fit from time to time. And I think that's probably the way the Giants win. As for these undrafted free agents, it's the same theory. You try to pick up the guys that you had grades on in the draft, that you had in your fifth, sixth, or seventh tier or row, as the Giants call it, that you think you can make it. You're not just going to bring in offensive guys because you need an offensive player. You have to believe this player can make it and help your team. So I think that's the way the Giants went about it, and I guess they just didn't like any of the guys out there that you're talking about.
So it looks like we're going to have a super defense, but there's going to be a lot of questions again about the offensive line, because didn't we talked about dire need there. If Snead and Beattie are not ready, then it looks like we'll go with Charles Brown and John Jerry.
Well, I'll say this. I think the interior of the line is still a little bit more secure, because even though Weston Richburg is a center by trade, he has played guard, and this team believes that he can play guard if you need him to. So he can add some more depth behind Chris Snead as well as he can behind J.D. Walton. So I think that addition helps both the guard and center position. And then you have the John Jerrys of the world. Brandon Mosley is a guy that's a, third-year player, fourth-round pick. You hope he can maybe step in and do something at guard too. I feel better about the interior of the line having gotten Weston Richburg. However, and this is a big however, I think you do worry a little bit about left tackle. If Will Beattie can't come back and you got Charles Brown there as your starter, he's a guy that lost his starting job for the Saints last year in an offense, by the way, where they have a lot of really short drops and not a lot of 5-7 step drops, and they have a pretty mobile quarterback in Drew Brees to boot. So I would worry about the left tackle spot if Beattie can't come back and play well. If I had to pick one spot on the offensive line that was a worry for me right now, it would be that left tackle spot. Though, remember this too, if you have to, Joe, you can move Justin Pugh over there and give him a shot at left tackle, since that's where he played in college. So that is an extra option there. Then what are you doing? Right tackle? That's a great question. I don't know if I have an answer for you. But, yeah, I would say depth at tackle right now is probably one of the bigger question marks on the roster. I agree with you.
Yeah, well, I hope we do something because again, you want to. I think you got a pretty good team there, and that's certainly you got to have tackles. Now,
Though, Joe, in fairness, I don't think anybody would have drafted in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round or gotten as an undrafted free agent could have been trusted to play left tackle anyway, to be quite honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, too. But I don't know what else they can do. Didn't they have a couple of linemen that retired? And sometimes a guy comes back out of retirement for a year. Is that a possibility?
Well, David Boss was let go because he wasn't healthy. Now, if he comes back and can show you a little bit of something, and maybe you can bring him back as a backup guard if he eventually gets healthy, that's a possibility. But, I mean, David Deal retired. He's dead set going into broadcasting. He's not going to come back. You know, and then the guys like, I got to talk about like the Creed McKenzie's. I think Sean Locklear might actually sign somewhere. So I don't see any of those guys, but you can always try to find a tackle that maybe gets cut loose around June 1st, something like that, that could help this team.
Well, and what are your thoughts about a tight end? We're probably going to go with one of the guys we got on the team now, right?
Yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, you have to. I mean, nobody else is on the roster. You don't have much of a choice.
Whoever looks the best we'll use them, I guess.
I agree, and I think they'll wait and see what the medical reports are on JerMichael Finley, and then maybe they could consider looking at him at some point, too, considering, you know, right now they only have four tight ends on the roster. I mean, you need five or six guys in training camp just to practice. So. I mean, look, right now tight end is by far the least talented position on this roster. You know, Jerry Reese seems comfortable going with the younger guys. Tom Coughlin doesn't seem quite as comfortable going with the younger guys that haven't done much. So I think that's a position that's definitely worth watching.
And I think one of the free agents after the draft, of course, they haven't signed him, but there was a guy by the name of Xavier Grimble.
Yeah, he's at USC. He was like a really talented pass catcher that was supposed to be an excellent player, and it just never worked out there. I think he had some attitude issues. It's one of the reasons he went undrafted. So if the Giants do end up at some point working something out with him, he's somebody that would fill out the ranks a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to hope for the best, John.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, take care.
You too, bud.
Bye-bye.
201-939-4513. Christian's in New Jersey. Christian, what's going on, pal? Actually, check that. This is Avery in North Carolina.
New York.
No, New York. I'm sorry, Avery. What's going on?
You doing? No, how's it going, John?
I'm doing
no,
well.
No, I was calling. I was calling about the people were talking a lot about this tight end situation.
Yeah.
And I know that it's. I don't know if dire is the word, but a concern.
Look, Avery, I am not going to soft sell this tight end issue. Right now, the Giants probably have, and hopefully the people upstairs don't hear me. They'll probably come down here and try to fire me. They probably have the least talented group of tight ends of any team in the NFL.
And the thing is, even the guys that were there outside of Ebron, were any of them really better than what we already had on the roster, truthfully?
I mean, I think if you got...
That's why I'm...
Avery, I'll say this. I think if you got a Troy Nicholas or a C.J. Fedorowicz, which are the only two guys that were available to you because Ebron was gone when the Giants picked in the first round, and Austin Seferian Jenkins was gone when the Giants picked in the second round, and Jason Morrow is not an every-down tight end. He can't block enough. He can't play with the every-down. He'd have to be a situational pass receiver like they tried to use Travis Beckham. We saw that didn't work. Not at all. So I think if you drafted Nicholas or Fedorowicz in round two, which I think would have been probably a little bit of a reach for both guys, I think they probably would have ended up being the starter, to be quite honest with you. I don't think they would have given you a ton in the passing game. They probably only would have caught 35, 40 balls, but they probably would have been pretty good blockers for you.
And that's about, I mean, considering what we got in the second round, I'm much happier with Richburg than I would have been with one of those guys, considering that this guy is a top-rated center. Richburg was a top-rated, basically number one or number two center out of everyone in the center class, correct?
Right, I agree. I'm not interested in taking a guy that's going to be a primary blocker for you at tight end in round number two. I think you can find guys like that, like a Jake Ballard, on the scrap heap, quote-unquote, and plug those guys in. Now, if Austin Seferian Jenkins was there in the second round, he can be a bit of a weapon. If you can get passes off the field stuff and he didn't raise too many red flags for you, that's a guy I would have considered even over a Jason Morrow. But once he was gone, I mean, look, I like Troy Nicholas. I think he's going to be a good tight end in this league for a long time. He'll kind of be like an Anthony Fasano type. But I would have rather had the starting offensive lineman in round two than that type of tight end.
And then someone that you got to reach for. I don't think that they should reach for anybody. If they're not good, then they're not good. And also, John, it's two less weeks now. The draft is 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another reason why the Giants went with people that were smart, team leaders. They can grasp things easily because you have two less weeks to learn things.
Avery, actually, Tom Coughlin was asked that question, and he said it certainly did have an effect on how they drafted, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it has to because you're talking about some things that are you know, you have to learn things less. There's no rookie training camp. There's none of that stuff that's around. So they figured you got to get someone that's smart enough to grasp the concept of a new offense and all that kind of thing.
And by the way, yeah, no question, Avery. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I apologize. No. Just real quick, if you listen to the way Tom Coughlin, I think it was Tom. I don't think it was Jerry. Jerry Reese might have said it too. I don't remember. I have to look at the transcripts. But they were asked about the tight ends. And number one, including Mark Ross, they said that they didn't feel this tight end class was really that good, to be quite honest with you. They had a couple guys that they liked and nobody else they really were big fans of, number one. Number two, you heard Tom Coughlin say a couple times, well, you know, we pick our guy in the second round and then two guys go off the board and no one's left. And I think it's probably fair to say that the Giants were hoping either Troy Nicholas or C.J. Fedorowicz, and I'm wagering those are the two guys that he was talking about. Maybe he was talking about Jason Morrow. I don't know. I can try to find out. But my guess is that if one of those two guys was there in the third round, they would have been seriously, seriously considered in that spot. That's my guess.
I totally agree. That's exactly what I was thinking. If they would have been around in the third round, then I think they probably would have taken either one of those guys.
Right.
But not in the second round, because I think that what we got, that guy is great. I went and looked at the film on all the guys, and they're all going to be great. I'm very happy with the draft, personally. I think the more I look and the more I see, but the Williams guy, that guy is incredible. He's going to be really, really good. So I'm happy overall with the draft. And also, as far as the tight ends are concerned, one last thing.
Yeah.
How many, we've never really, outside of Shockey, there really hasn't been what we call a great tight end. Most of the ones that we've had have been average to good.
Well, you know, it's funny, Avery. They tried to add guys. You know, Howard Cross, who works with me on the radio all the time, he always jokes with me how they kept trying to bring guys in to replace him over the course of his Giants career, whether it was, you know, Pete Mitchell, guys like that could catch and be dynamic receivers, and they can never do it. So the Giants, it seems like they're in an endless quest to find these tight ends that can catch the football, and they really seem to have issues besides Shockey, like you said, finding guys to stick long term.
Yeah, and the guys, like I said, and we sort of piecemeal, but then what we do piecemeal, so they turn out to be pretty good for us sometimes. So who knows? Maybe we'll get. I'm not a big fan of getting Finley, frankly, because I think that injury he had was very, very severe. And I don't know, after a couple of knocks around or whatever the case may be, I don't know how sustainable he'll be. But if they have to go that route, then they can go that route, and that'll be it. But anyway, but thanks, John, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're a good man, Avery. Thank you very much.
All right.
201-939-4513. And look, I think at this point, and you know me, I've been saying it since the start of free agency, I was never a big fan of JerMichael Finley. I think he's got a tude. I think he drops passes. I think he's a me guy from time to time. Remember, he actually, in public, took shots at Aaron Rodgers, of all people. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on now. But at this point, considering who's here, I think he's an improvement over everybody on the roster by a lot, to be quite honest with you. So at this point, I'd roll the dice and say, why not? 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. I haven't even looked at Twitter yet today. That's a bad job out of me. I'm going to look at it right now. See what I can find out as we go to our next caller. And that is Casey in New Jersey. What's going on, Casey?
Hello. How you doing, sir?
Doing right, Casey. How about you?
Yes, I'm going to tell the truth. How many guys that you talk really don't know football? Now, he said the first caller from Florida said the defense. Defense win championship. Everybody knew as a Giants four Super Bowl, we won because of the defense. We had a little bit of offense, but we always won because the defense stepped up.
Now, in fairness, Casey, the strength of the Super Bowl 46 team now was the offense. With Cruz and Nix and Eli, that team scored a ton of points. That's the reason they made the playoffs. That's the reason they made their run.
They did, but the defense came up big in all them games when we needed you.
No, that's true. Not going to argue that. That's fair.
And the Patriots, the team, like I said, we shut them down. Their offense was good, but we shut them down enough to score a little bit of points to win. So let's give the defense the most of the credit. The Patriots were scoring on anybody and everybody, both of the Super Bowls we played. Even though when it was undefeated, when we met them, they were scoring like 35 on every opponent. They met us in the Super Bowl, and we shut them down. So you got to give the defense their props.
Hey, look, you're right. In 2011, the offense got them there. The way I like to put it, the offense got them there, and the defense closed the deal. Because the offense, without the offense, they don't even sniff the playoffs that year. They probably win around 5 or 6 games. But once they got to the postseason, the defense stepped up big against Atlanta on their way. They stepped up big against Green Bay.
That's right.
And then they played well in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. And they played well against the 49ers. I mean, look, the Giants' offense against the 49ers couldn't do anything. Those two teams went about 3/4 of football, I think scoring 2 field goals between them. And if not for those 2 special teams mistakes by the Niners, the Giants probably lose that game. But you're right, in the playoffs in 2011, the Giants defense certainly stepped up. They played a lot better than they did in the regular season. That being said, I still think you need an offense that can move the ball and score. And I think Beckham helps a lot. I think it's going to make him a much better offensive team.
Yes, I agree. But we did have a tight end. He was good. Ballard, he was good.
Well, that's the thing, and you found Ballard out of nowhere, so I'm not sure you want to try to use a second-round pick on somebody.
I wouldn't do that.
Just going to be okay. If you can get a really good player, and like I wanted to draft Ebron because I think he can be a difference-making tight end.
Yeah.
But he was
the
off
Giants
the board.
The Giants did good in that draft.
Right.
The Giants did excellent in that draft, but one mistake they made, they had a defensive tackle, from Notre Dame, but they chose the guy for Syracuse. I would have got that defensive tackle from Notre Dame.
What, Lewis Nix?
At that time.
Lewis Nix you're talking about? Now, here's the difference. Now, Casey, there's one difference between the two, though. Now, Lewis Nix is basically the big fat guy you're going to put in the middle of the line and have him stop the run. Bromley's much more of, like, your pass-rushing swing guy that can get into the backfield, while Nix is just your big run stuffer that's going to take up space, occupy 2 offensive linemen. So it all depends the type of player that you want. They were very different types of players.
So why did they have him ranked number 7, though? 7 rounds as a Syracuse guy, and they had this guy ranked number, like, 2nd or 3rd round. They had the Syracuse guy ranked number 7.
Well, Lewis Nix ended up dropping to the 4th, so obviously a lot of teams didn't think he was as good as the draft experts said. And clearly the Giants' board was different than Mel Kiper's board. It was different than Mike Mayock's board. They viewed the guys differently. They thought Bromley was a better player.
Yeah, but I think we're going to be all right, and everybody's saying Nix, tight end, Nix. I think the Giants are going to be being all right, and I think they're going to Super Bowl this year. They got the defense to do it, and their offense is going to look better, and they're going to have a tight end. Don't worry about that, because the Giants are going to do good. But the only thing I say is we need, like, another running back, a good running back.
You drafted Andre Williams. You signed Rashad Jennings, and you got David Wilson on the shelf.
Yeah, David Wilson. But the rest of them, Peyton Hill and them, and that wide receiver, Jernigan, I'll let him go. Peyton Hill and Jernigan, I'll let them go.
All right, thanks, Casey.
All right, have a nice day.
You too, buddy. Right. Thank you for the call. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Leonard?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Did you talk to Lance yesterday?
Yes, I did. I had a good conversation with Lance yesterday. And, just to summarize real quick, I feel good about the draft. I mean, I give it a solid, real solid B. I have to admit, though, I may have gone a little differently early, and let me just sum up my feelings as I did with Lance yesterday. John, who plays right guard on September the 8th? You know, I mean, I would have gone Martin. Look, Beckham's going to be a fine football player, and one of the things I wanted to ask you this morning is, with the Beckham pick, I mean, how does that affect Victor?
I don't think it does.
Well, eventually, in the future, and as you know, and I said this to Lance yesterday, the future for me is about halfway through this season. I'm looking at 2014 only. So let's, consider mid-season 2014 the future for a second. I mean, how do you get Beckham on the field and Cruz on the field with Randall? I mean, does Victor become a two-down player, a one-down player by mid-season?
Why would you say that?
If not, huh?
Why would you say that?
Well, if Beckham stars the way we think he's going to, he's going to get on the field. And if it, you know, and Randall's the other outside receiver, is Victor destined for the slot only?
No. I mean, I think Victor Cruz plays outside over Ruben Randall, and it's not even close. Victor Cruz had a lot of success playing outside last year. He's not just the slot guy. He can run outside.
Okay.
And I have absolutely no problem starting Cruz and Beckham outside on first and second down. And quite frankly, let's be honest anyway, the Giants are in three wide receivers probably 50% of the snaps anyway. So those three guys are probably going to be on the field together a bunch anyhow.
And it could very well be that McAdoo's offense will indeed force that kind of situation when we've got three wides on the field. But, you know, if you look at Victor's, and we've done this before, but you look at Victor's production as an outside receiver. Now, there are many reasons for why it was, you know, averaging 68 yards a game.
Right.
You know, many reasons for that. But the fact is, he didn't have a stellar season out there in terms of total yardage. Caught a lot of passes. But he's better suited for the slot.
Well, Len, that's what happens when you're not the tallest guy in the world and they keep a safety over the top. It's very hard to make big plays down the field when you're 5'11 and there's a safety waiting for you deep. It's
there
very hard.
So that's why I was thinking that maybe his role, you know, we're paying him somewhere between slot and number one receiver. I mean, he's not getting number one money, as we know.
Yeah, I would say Cruz got about the same number as what, like Eric Decker got from the Jets, give or take. I think Cruz maybe got a little bit more. And I think that's good, solid number two wide receiver type of money.
Okay. I agree with you there. Now, on the defensive tackle, it appears like the Giants with Bromley and with the two undrafted are really looking for defensive tackles who can penetrate.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, John?
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I think in a 4-3 defense, those three technique defensive tackles are besides that right end, which gets after the quarterback, I think the three technique defensive tackle is probably the second most important position on the line. That's why they went out there and spent all that money on Chris Canty a few years ago. He was supposed to be that guy. Then he got hurt, and they brought in Colin Jenkins.
And poor Cullen was getting double teamed so much last year. And who knows, that penetrating tackle, if Bromley really stars from early on, that penetrating tackle may get doubled again. Big Hank's got to have a big year for us.
I think Jonathan Hankins will be just fine stopping the run. I think he'll be just fine.
Good. Can I say one thing about Andre Williams?
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about with Williams, John, is when he sets foot on the field, you know what play is coming. Unless he's getting the ball, there's no reason for him to be on the field.
I think he can learn pass protection, Len. Pass protection I'm not worried about. Now catching the ball, that's a problem.
Okay. Yes.
He is a very, very raw pass catcher. I mean, I'm telling you, go online if you have the chance.
Okay.
And if you can find Andre Williams catching passes at the combine,
yes.
It's not pretty.
I hope he can pass block, as you described earlier in the show, because that's my one concern with Williams, especially if we're in a short yardage situation. The whole world knows there's no reason for Andre to be on the field unless he gets the ball. Is it Andre? Did I get his first name right?
It's Andre Williams. That's correct.
Yeah, okay, because I screwed up one of the names yesterday. I kept calling Stevie Brown Andre Brown.
Too many Andres and Browns, man. What can I tell you?
Oh, man, too much. Hey, listen, good draft. It's going to be a nice year. I think we've improved the team tremendously. You put the offseason together with, this draft. Still a little worried about tight end, a little concerned about tight end. Beckham's going to star, but I'm still worried about that right guard position, John. Hey, listen, have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks
for
calling in, Len. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, I want to go through some of these tweets now real quick before we get to Steve in D.C. Steve, you're up next. So my caller told me to wait to take you, Steve. That's why I've been skipping over you, but I'll get to you next, all right? Let me go through some of these Twitter questions. Let's see here. Will Devon Kennard be used in the same way as Kiwi was? That's from Martin H. Johansson, playing both linebacker and or D-end. I think he can be a situational pass rusher on third down right away. I'm not sure he's going to play linebacker right away. My gut feeling here, unless McLean gets hurt and they need him there, I see Kennard more as a situational pass rusher at end right now than I do necessarily a linebacker, but I think he can provide some depth there in case somebody goes down. That's my feel for it. I could be wrong. That's just my feel for it, where I think the Giants can use him right away. Let's see. Joshua Cole. So, John, does that mean they lost faith in coaching up physically gifted guys when drafted? And then a similar question from Nita Pinky Ring, Big Blue Got Rings. So, John, the whole best athlete available that Reese preaches is not what we're going to do from here on out. I still think they're looking for good athletes, guys. I'm not trying to tell you they're looking for guys that aren't good athletes. But from what I saw from this year's draft, and no one actually came out and said this, I think there was a focus on getting football players more than there was getting athletes. Let's see. Steal the draft. Nat Burhe, kid is a highlight reel hardest hitter the Giants have ever had. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, Carl Banks LT. That from at New York Sports Chat, but I know a lot of people do like Burhe. Vic Fontana, John, do you think we should have got Martin, then a wide receiver? Will we not have had better overall value? Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there were guys there when the Giants picked in the second round. I mean, would say Dante Moncrief and Zach Martin in better value than Ola Beckham and Weston Richburg? I don't think so. And this is why I never wanted to really take an offensive lineman in the first round. I feel like you got a day one starter and someone that can step in and help your team right away in round number two in Weston Richburg. And you got a wide receiver that can help you step in day number one and help you in Ola Beckham Jr. If you take Zach Martin in the first round, I can't guarantee you that wide receiver is going to step in day one and help you as a starter. Beckham will. Richburg will. I can't guarantee whoever the Giants would have gotten that second round wide receiver spot would have. I can't guarantee that to you. At Dunfront, that's the best I can pronounce it. What percentage of current Pro Bowlers were college team captains? Is there a correlation? Thinks guys they drafted guys with too low of ceilings in the draft. And, I mean, look, I don't think some of these guys have the highest ceilings, but I think that they're really good players already. I couldn't tell you how many guys are Pro Bowlers that were team captains. Not seeing a lot of support for JerMichael Finley, which is interesting. I thought more people would be in favor of him. And Anthony Phoenix had a very funny one saying that, Ruben Randle apparently said yesterday to Eisen that, you know, he wants to mentor Odell Beckham Jr. and, you know, worry about his own business. I think that's probably fair. I think he can help him get used to the NFL and, you know, the type of tricky things that go along with it off the field. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with Anthony. I think Ruben has to worry about getting his own act together, too. 201-939-4513. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Perfect timing. Well, I guess you didn't hear yesterday's show.
I did not.
Because I heard you ask Lynn if he called. Oh, my boss is calling me, man.
Okay, Steve. No, Steve, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll pick you back up in 5 minutes, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Hold on, Steve. I will get back to you. 201-939-4513. Say, I tried to help Steve out. He's a good caller. I tried to help him out there. Let's go to David in New York. You're up next. David, what's up?
Hey there, John. How you doing?
Doing well, David. How are you?
I'm just basking in what the maestro, Jerry Reese, has accomplished. Beckham, Richburg, Bromley, Andre Williams. That's the foundation of the cake.
And here's the thing. We talked about getting two or three starters out of this draft. I think you got two in Beckham and Richburg, and I think they'll start right away. And then I think between Andre Williams and between Bromley, maybe in a year or two, one or both of those guys could theoretically be starters. And I think there's an outside chance that Burhe could eventually be a starter, too. So I think you definitely got two, and I think you can find the third out of your third to fifth round picks.
Yes. And, I mean, it's a thing of, this is what I enjoy about Jerry Reese. He lets the game flow to him. He lets all the picks. He does his research. And he scrutinizes these players, and then he lets the things come to him. He don't push out there and overspend like a Jerry Jones does. from time to time.
Hey, look, honestly, I think the Cowboys had a pretty good draft, too. I mean, they got an excellent offensive lineman in the first round in Zach Martin, and they traded up and got one of the only pass rushers in the draft in the second round. So I think the Cowboys are honestly underrated drafted. I think people kind of go after them unfairly sometimes, to be quite honest with you. But, look, I think Jerry Reese does an excellent job in the draft, you know, but the last few years, the track record in the middle rounds hasn't been very good, and you hope that the guys that they drafted this year in the third, fourth, and fifth round can give you a little bit more production than the guys they've gotten the last few years.
Now, John, let me ask you this. Any word on what's going with the undrafted free agents?
Well, they announced the signing of five guys. They announced Ethan Malemaliuna. They announced Kelsey Quarles. They announced Kerry Wynn. They announced Justin Anderson. They announced Thomas Gordon. Now, I know the reports out there that other people are here, that other guys were going to sign. The Giants have not announced that yet. And what they have to do a lot of times is put them through physicals to make sure they're healthy. So there could be some waiting period in terms of that to making sure these guys are healthy enough to go before they announce the signing.
Okay. Well, then, only thing I have to say now is, John, it's always a pleasure calling Big Blue Kickoff. You are a great host.
Thank you, David.
In fact, all of you do a good job. My man, P. Dottie, Lance, and yourself, you're the team three.
Thank you, David.
Okay, you take care, and I'll call another time.
All right, thanks, buddy. I got my ego all up there. I need Lance to pat me on the back. Mike Farmer to say that Andre Williams can't be on field in the passing situations is a mistake. He can't catch, but can pass block, play action. Yeah, I think he used him in play action, too. Look, Brandon Jacobs wasn't exactly, you know, captain hands, and you were fine with him on the field in passing situations because he could pass block. And if Williams can pass block, you can get him on the field. I'm not saying he's your third down back. I think that'd be kind of stupid and silly. But if you want to pass on first or second down, Andre Williams can be on the field, sure. Derek Wingate, project how many touches does each running back get per game? Whew, that's a good one, Derek. That's a good question. Let me see. Do you want me to give you – I'll give you with David Wilson. If David Wilson's healthy, Jennings 13, 14, Wilson 8, Andre Williams 8. Without David Wilson, I'll go Jennings 17, Williams 10, and Payne Hillis 4. How does that sound? 201-939-4513. Let's see if Steve in D.C. got rid of his boss. Steve, what's going on?
I'm about to close a big deal downtown. My boss is parking, so I got a couple minutes.
Go ahead.
Listen, I was saying, I guess you missed yesterday's show. Overall, I have a good feeling going into this year. I think, Jerry Reese deserves a solid B. And with that being said, I kind of feel like Mr. Mara feels the same way as I do. And, it's what he didn't say. But I believe that he feels like the coaching needs to step up. And that's why we saw changes, not just in Gilbride, but in Polk as well. And, I know that, McAdoo used to coach tight ends in the past, but I think we do have the talent on the roster. And I feel like the coaches know that, and so does Mr. Mara. And that's, kind of my next notion is I feel like the coaches need to step up more than anything. I've never gone into a year with Jerry Reese as a GM where I'm like, oh, my God, we had a terrible draft or whatever. I feel like we have the pieces in place, especially offensively. I know we needed to bolster up the line a little bit, but I feel like some changes need to be made. And one thing I asked you to do last year, which I know you're a busy guy, you never got back to me on, but to see how many times Eli actually threw it in the end zone last year. And the one important thing that sticks out to me why we're not winning as much as we should is even when we score, it's like we're scoring too fast. We're putting our defense on the field too long. And even in our wins, we have the ball – offensively, way less time than, our opponent. That concerns me. That's just not a winning formula. When you go down and two or three passes in the end zone or whatever, or a turnover, you know, and our defense is on the field all the time. So the biggest concern for me, like every year, is injuries. How are we going to cut back on these injuries going into the, you know, to the season, John?
Look, cutting down on injuries, that you know, I think that's luck a lot of the time, Steve. I don't know how you cut down on injuries. In terms of time of possession on offense, I think getting a guy like Andre Williams will help that a whole lot.
Well, I feel like it's going to be scheme that's going to really change that a lot as well.
Well, that too. I agree.
You know, one of the callers said is, you know, I believe Eli had the check downs in, even in Gilbride's system, but he opted not to use them. You know, he opted not to use them, and that's what concerns me with the new scheme. Is Eli still going to be impatient and keep throwing the ball down the field? It's, you know, when there's a receiver right there or a tight end right there that can easily, you know, he could check down to. He gets kind of, you know, he gets paranoid and just kind of throws it downfield or whatever. So, you know, John, who was the guy from San Diego State that we got?
Nat Burhey, the safety. Now, and I want to add to that, Steve, because one of our good tweeters, who was it? I think it was Ben Gruen wrote in, look, he's only 5'10", 190, runs a 4'7". What's his position? Is he fast enough to play free safety? Is he too small to play strong safety? I think those are fair questions. My man who wrote back in and said at NY Sports Chat, you know, thinks he's going to be one of the best secondary hitters that the Giants have had on this roster. But I do worry about his size a little bit, playing in the box at just 5'10", 190.
John, as long as he ain't asked to catch the ball, I had never seen somebody with such poor catching skills in his drills. Oh, my God. It was painful to watch.
Wait, the safety you're talking about or the running back?
All I know is he's from San Diego State.
Yeah, the safety. He's a safety.
Oh, my God.
It was bad?
I've never seen hands that bad. It was terrible.
All right, I'll look it up. I'll check it out.
I mean, I'm serious. It was painful to watch. I couldn't even watch it. I was like, okay.
All right, I'll check it out.
You know. But listen, you know, I ain't going to hold you up. I ain't going to close this deal. Great show. Great host. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think we got all the pieces in place. Let's, you know, this coach has got to step up. Team's got to be right. And we got to control the, you know, the clock. Got to control the clock. So I'll check with you later on during the week, buddy. Thanks for letting me hold and get my call.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. All right, guys, we got three calls on the line. We'll take you three, and then we will say goodbye. Thanks for calling in today, everybody. And by the way, if you guys have any ideas, hit me up at Schmelk on Twitter or hashtag Giants Chat. Any ideas for show topics over the next month or so before I take my little three-week hiatus when I go get married. So if you guys have any ideas, you know, interesting little things we could talk about, little, you know, segments of the Giants roster or little news things or, you know, featurey type of things, anything you think that's interesting that you think we could, you know, spend the show on, I mean, I can get a guest on or something like that, feel free. What I will try to do at some point, maybe next week I'll do it. I'll get one guy from each one of the three NFC East teams, and I'll have those guys kind of talk to us about what the other teams have done in free agency in the draft and kind of preview the rest of the NFC East. We got good guys in D.C., Dallas, and Philly that can give good information on them, and we'll move forward from there. But any other ideas you got in terms of guys we can bring on, things we could talk about, more than happy to listen to your ideas as we try to fill now up until training camp with the draft behind us. 201-939-4513. Carlos is down in Virginia. What's up, Los?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Doing well, Los. What's up?
All right. Yeah, I was, you know, looking at the draft of pretty much like everyone else. And, you know, I think we've got, you know, pretty good picks this year. I think, as a matter of fact, you know, we got better picks than what we had last year, believe it or not. But I just want to know one thing. Has the Giants done enough? I mean, because with the free agents, between signing free agents and, of course, drafting center Richburg.
Yeah.
You think that they did enough on the offensive line that can be able to protect Eli Manning a little bit better than last year?
Oh, yes. I think it'll be better than last year regardless. I do still think there are some questions. I mean, Chris Snee, who knows, coming back from injury. I mean, J.D. Walton, who knows, coming back from not playing for a year and a half because of the ankle. But you do have a lot of backups. Now, you have Weston Richburg that can come in and start at center. That's great. You got Jeff Schwartz, who you signed to be a starting left guard. That's great. You got Brandon Mosley, a young guy that can do something. That's great. You got a veteran in John Jerry that has been a starter in this league. That's good. The one spot I would worry about is left tackle. If Will Beattie can't go, You got to figure out if you want to move Pugh over there. Is Charles Brown good enough to be a starter? I think depth of tackle is probably one of the bigger question marks on the offensive line. I'm pretty comfortable inside now.
I mean, if there was any, like, you had mentioned the left tackle position. Now, I mean, did you see any decent left tackles in this year's draft that maybe the Giants would have been able to pick up if they had the opportunity to do so?
I mean, there were good left tackles, but you were probably going to have to use your first-round pick on Zach Martin. I mean, he was a good tackle. Morgan Moses was there. I don't think Morgan Moses was there for the Giants' third-round pick. I think Morgan Moses was there for the Giants' second-round pick. But I think Richburg was probably a better player because he'd come and start right away at center at a bigger need. So, I mean, Tiny Richardson, who plays tackle, was on the board for a long time, but he obviously has medical red flags that scared people away from him. So I think once you get past the first couple of rounds, I'm not sure there was a left tackle you could have gotten that could have helped right away. You could have gotten some depth maybe in round number two. But you know, honestly, I think the Giants made the right moves. I think it was more important to help the offensive line inside, which they did. I thought it was more important to get a weapon. And look, you only have 7 picks. You know, you aren't going to be able to solve every problem in the draft. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Now, one more thing before I go. You know, because everybody was going crazy and going nuts about the tight end, which I don't think would be a problem, you know, with McIndoe's system. If since they didn't draft a tight end, I mean, would the Giants be flirting with taking perhaps the Jermichael Finley of any sort?
Hey, look, I haven't heard anything that they're looking at him, but let me put it this way. I'm not the biggest Jermichael Finley fan in the world. I think he's a lot of issues. But if he clears his health hurdles and, you know, he shows that he's healthy enough to play with his neck and his back injury and that sort of thing, which I don't know if that's going to happen, I believe Jermichael Finley is a more talented player than the other tight ends on the roster. I think it would be worth taking a flyer on him, assuming you don't have to pay him a ton of money.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Thanks,
all right,
Carlos.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you very much for calling in, man. I appreciate you. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man. John.
What's wrong?
You have to listen to yesterday's show.
Why?
I mean, the first hour was, you know, it was okay, but it really picked up after that. I mean, Steve's call was a classic. Eli throwing high balls. Like, he just kept saying it, too. He kept saying high balls. It had me dying.
All right, I'll check it out.
You got to. And I let me toot my own horn. My call was definitely classic.
You can't self-promote your own call, Shakes.
Hey,
come
listen,
on,
man.
Now.
You got to listen to it, really. You got to listen to it because I gave it a fruit analogy, and a lot of people say it blew their mind.
All right, fruit analogy. Okay, that's interesting.
So, yeah, go ahead and go back and listen to
all
that
right,
show.
We'll
it was a classic show. Anyway, now, I was so negative, you know, on the tight end thing that it overshadows that I am happy about the draft, okay? So I'm just going to cut the negative out for now, all right? Yes, tight end is a problem. Yes, I am waiting. Tick-tock is the sound of me waiting for another tight end to get in here. Okay? With that said, this draft is beast. This draft is beast. We got the playmaker wide receiver. We got the offensive lineman that we wanted. He's smart, like y'all said. He's ready. He's what we need. He will be what Sean O'Hara was to us, maybe even more. That's high praise.
You know, it's actually funny, by the way. I stopped by the equipment room yesterday, and Richburg was in there. You know who stopped by to say hello, who he was chatting with? Sean O'Hara.
O'Hara?
Yep.
That's my man. That's my man. He's still doing his thing. He probably going to teach him a few things, too, you know, tricks of the trade.
I bet you he will. And, you know, Chris Neal will be in there, too, helping these guys out, too. I think Chris Neal is going to be really valuable veteran leadership for some of these younger linemen this year.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he can teach them the ropes, you know. So, you know, experience is always good, even if he don't start or, you know, just reliability, you know.
Right.
You can rely if one of them go down that, hey, we got Snead. You know, he's a legend. He's a legend in the Giants. So, anyway, I was going back to the draft. Bromley, I like him because penetration, you know. He's coming after that quarterback. So I think that even though he's not going to start, he's going to play a very viable role in our rotation this year. Like, that's not being said. Like, everybody is questioning this pick, but he's going to be what Jay Alford was for us. And that's very good. That's very good. Andre Williams, beast. He's just going to be running people over. But my thing is, okay, the tight end position, who would you rather have? Because you are kind of down on JerMichael Finley. So I know it's Winslow out there.
I like Finley better only because I don't know when Kellen Winslow's knee is going to explode. I mean, as much of an issue that Finley is with his injury, I almost think Winslow's a little bit worse because, you know, that's a chronic thing that, you know, that's going to come up again and again. I feel like once you get the neck thing kind of straightened out, it, you know, it'll stay straightened out. Winslow, I can't trust. I think he's older. And frankly, he said some dumb things in the past, too. Finley's in his prime still. Winslow's over the hill. I would rather have JerMichael Finley, assuming their prices are the same.
Well, what about Christian Fourier if he gets cut?
Wait, you mean Christian or his younger brother, Joe? The guy from the Lions?
The guy that's in Detroit.
I would take him in a second, yes. But I don't think he's going to get cut. I think you'd have to trade for him.
You think so? I mean, can you really carry all those tight ends? I mean, God.
Well, Shakes, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I mean, you can if they play. I mean, they could play some three wide versus three tight ends if they want.
Why are they
so greedy? Yeah, look. But the bottom line is that I think Fourier has some value on the open market. So I think if they decide to trade him, they could probably get like a sixth round pick for him or something like that. And if you can get a six for him or a seven, it's better than just cutting him, you know?
Yeah, something like a Beeson, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. I'll do it.
So
I'll
would
do
I.
It. I'll even give a fifth. give me a tight end, please. I'm sad. It's going to be sad to say, whoever we do bring in that tight end, that's going to be my this year's Aaron Curry. Because I'm hoping.
Don't put the kiss of death on the guy before he's even on the team sheets.
I'm just hoping that this time it works out. That's what I'm hoping. So thanks for taking my call, John. And I listen to that show. Last thing, please.
Yes.
I had family issues yesterday, so I was supposed to air a special show of the Shakedown. But sorry, John fans, about that yesterday. But today we're going to do it, so tune in on the Shakedown. Just go to bbnuncensored.com, go to our podcast library, or download it on iTunes. Thanks for taking my call, John,
you,
and I'll see you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate it, brother. 201-939-4513. Oh, boy. See, we're building like a Big Blue Kickoff Network now. I love it. 201-939-4513. Back to the phone. Let's go to Frank in Tampa Bay. Frank, you're our cleanup hitter today. You're going to close out the show. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, John? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, Frank, it's good to hear from you. How's everything?
Thanks. Good. And you?
I'm fine. What's up? What do you got for me today?
Good. Oh, just a few musings on the draft and wanted your opinion. Might be a little different than some people have been saying, but with Beckham, I'm a little concerned in that, you know, I see all the analysts, and of course they don't know much, but, you know, they know more than me. And what I keep hearing is that good pick, great pick. But then I hear, you know, Gil Brandt, you know, and down the line, projecting him as a solid second receiver, an excellent second receiver. And I say to myself, you know, when I hear number 12 pick in the draft, I want to hear, you know, unless your number one is Calvin Johnson, I want to hear and I don't get hung up on the number 1-2 thing, but, you know, I want to hear that he is going to be your number one receiver.
No, Frank, I hear you, but I think when they say number two, I think their categorization for what's a number one receiver is pretty high. I mean, I think here's my thing. I believe when they say number one receiver, they're talking about Calvin Johnson. They're talking about Larry Fitzgerald. They're talking about Julio Jones. Now, do I think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, or Larry Fitzgerald, or Terrell Owens, or Randy Moss? No, he's not going to be that good. Now, is he going to be as good as, say, a Reggie Wayne? Yeah. Is he going to be as good as, say, maybe a Roddy White type? Yeah, I think he can be that good. Can he be as good as a DeSean Jackson? Yeah, I think he could be that good. Can he be as good as, say, let me think of another good name for you. Can he be as good as, say, like a Pierre Garçon? Yeah, he can be as good of a Pierre Garçon. Just to give out some names there, I think when they say number two, they're saying it's a level down from those ultra-elite wideouts like the Calvin Johnsons of the world.
See, the way I seem to hear them saying it is that, you're the second receiver on your team. And it seems obvious to me that that's what they're referring to. And that, with a number 12 pick in the draft, not only do I want to hear number one on your team, I want to hear Pro Bowl potential. And it's not like, baseball where the second baseman and the shortstop, both get, an all-star, rating. Here you've got, they don't give out an all-pro for number one and a number two. It's just all receivers. So that just kind of scares me. The other thing is that, my God, I get this chill up my spine when I heard Jerry Reese talking about this guy being the most polished receiver coming out of college. If you go back and listen.
NFL ready, right, with Reuben Randall?
The exact words came out of his mouth. And, Randall turned out to be about as polished, as a hobo's shoes. He was not even close. And then, when you talk about the things that he can't do, getting off the line, well, first of all, for a receiver, that is the most important thing to be a polished receiver because if you can't.
I'm not sure if it's the most important thing, but.
Well, if you can't get off the line, you're not going anywhere. And so you know what you've got? You've got Jarrell Jernigan if you can't get off the line.
You can teach that, I think, though.
I'm sorry?
You can teach that.
Well, you see what they did with Jernigan. The only way that he was able to get things done in those last couple games, which you can't do throughout the season, is they put him in motion, and in motion he's able to make people miss. But, from a standing start, it doesn't work. So I'm just throwing things out there.
I hear you. Look, there's a reason Beckham wasn't the top-rated wide receiver in the draft, and he was the third or fourth guy, depending on who you talk to. But, look, are there flaws? Yeah, but, Frank, you're going to be able to find flaws no matter who the Giants picked with that 12th pick. So you were never going to get the perfect player. If Beckham was perfect, he would have been there at 12.
No, I get it. I just, with a number 12, I just like to hear, the words, can't miss, all pro attached to it, which I'm not hearing. But, and then, his use, his special teams, I love my Giants, but it seems to be another example of kind of a day late and a dollar short with them. As far as special teams, we got five or six guys now that, can be look like solid, very good potential kick returners at a time where the kick returner position has never been so devalued. I mean, they're kicking 70, 80, 90% of these things out of the end zone. Did you see what the Redskins just did? They drafted this kid, kicks the ball 30 yards past the goal line now. He probably won't be one kick return the entire season with this guy. And so once again, the Giants are great. They got all these guys, but you're going to get one kick a game if you're lucky. So what are you stocking up on those types of players for? The other thing, when you were talking about the player versus athlete debate, that's a tough one, and you got to be careful because production without measurements, you know what you get. You get Greg Jones, you get Travis Beckham, or you get Tyler Sash. And in fact, when you were reading the bio of our fifth round pick, you're reading Tyler Sash's bio. I mean, it's exactly the same. His numbers, his speed, his size, his production in college. They just redrafted Tyler Sash.
Well, and frankly, I think if Tyler Sash would have stayed healthy and not had the off-the-field issues with the suspension and things, I think Tyler Sash can be a very valuable player to have on your NFL team. And if Burhey can give you what Sash gave you on special teams and be a little bit of better of a defender in terms of playing actual defense in the back end, I think he could be on an NFL roster for 8 to 9 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, I never saw Sash break up a pass in the 3 years.
I said, Burray has to be better on the back end than Sash was, but if he's just as good as a special teamer and things of that nature, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I do hope so. The last thing, you know, I haven't had a chance to call in, but, you know, Paulie, you know, his power walks must have really been booming this couple days because he had that protein and that crow that he was eating with his breakfast. I mean, that I just can't see how a guy does that much studying and could have come to any conclusion. You can say all you want about Lawan if we were there. You know, there's no way that, I mean, it was possible to succeed without them getting alignment this year. Absolutely impossible for them to succeed without somebody to catch the ball at the tight end or the receiver position. I mean, anyone who thought otherwise that they were going to pick a lineman and neglect that pick. You see what Ross said about the depth of the wide receiver class. I never thought it was strong. And another reason it tells me is that we got the number 12 pick and people are saying, you know, strong number two. I mean, what are you going to get in the second round? You know, a backup, you know, slot receiver or something. So I, for the life of me, I could not understand how he could think that they were going to neglect the offense and have somebody to catch the ball from Manning. But that's, you know.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay, thanks.
You have a great one. Thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it. Whoa. I don't know what that was. A little feedback. 201-939-4513. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. A couple things on Twitter. Eric Lund at RuntFan78. Nassib equals Bortles. I think that's being a little generous to Ryan Nassib. And there's a reason Nassib was picking the fourth round and Bortles was the third overall pick. We'll say that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Uh-oh. Joe Colombo. See, now you're trying to get us in trouble, Joe. Does nobody want to compare Andre Williams to Ron Dane? Dane was a bit heavier and ran a 4.65, but it's there to compare. Again, I think, like you said, I think you kind of answered your own question, Joe. Andre Williams is faster, and he also played in a different type of system in college. I think Andre Williams played in a system in college that was much better suited to translate to the NFL. At Night Moves NJ, Rob Vacchiano had inside info, said Luan was the pick, but Beckham was over Martin or Donald. Ebron not on radar. I think a lot of that is true, but I mean, I'm hearing recently Beckham might have been the pick regardless. So, you know, take whatever you hear with a grain of salt, including what you hear from me, by the way, because I don't know either. But I think Beckham might have been the pick regardless, to be quite honest with you. Let's see. What else do we got here? All right, I think that's pretty much all the good little comments here. Everybody, good work. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate the calls. And again, if you have any ideas in terms of topics over the next few weeks, send them in. Happy to listen. Guests, issues to discuss, league-wide, Giants-centric, you name it, send them in to me at Schmelker, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll check them out later on today. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Tomorrow morning, 9:30, Giants.com. We'll see you then.